You're listening to the Blissful Bites podcast, episode 125.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
Welcome to today's business episode. I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Rachel Rohana from Hot Chocolate. She is a friend that I met through the 90-day year base camp, and it's been so fun for me to introduce you all to the people I've met through base camp. It's been really great to develop new relationships and just learn more about their business. Rachel's business is Hot Chocolate, and she takes pictures of the most beautiful stock photos, and she has this fantastic membership site. So I'm really, really excited to introduce you to her and to let you get to know her and her business. So when you finish listening to this interview, be sure to go find Rachel on social media, on Instagram or Twitter, and just tell her what you enjoyed about the episode. And of course, me too. And then come over to the Blissful Bites community on Facebook. You can search Blissful Bites, or you can just go to NicoleCulverBlog.com/community and join the conversation there. So let's get right into the interview today. First, a word from our sponsor. This month's sponsor is Kit Life, and I'm so psyched to have them back as this month's sponsor again. If you're listening to this podcast, then you're most likely trying to grow your blog and your business, and you have a lot going on. You know, if you've been listening, that I really talk about learning how to prioritize and work your schedule so you can stay organized and focused. If you're anything like me, you can always use some help keeping it all together. And Kit Life is the perfect answer to that struggle. The Kit Life women have created specialty day planners and coordinating products that will help you make the most of every single day. First of all, the planners are absolutely beautiful and they're super unique because they focus on much more than your typical to-do list. They're bright, fun, and vibrant, and they really, really help you be productive, positive, and even healthy by encouraging you to drink water. Since I have a big foodie audience, I know you're all gonna love the meal planning features and nutrition and fitness add-ons. Kit Life has tons of ways that you can customize it to fit what you need, which is why I love them so much. They have these daily tracker stickers, and there's even a social media sticker that can help you manage your efforts to build your brand. So I want you to go check out NicoleCulverBlog.com/KitLife. You can see photos, reviews, and more information right there. And as a special promotion for the Blissful Bites podcast listeners, if you enter my name, Nicole Culver, in the comments section at checkout, Team Kit will add in a set of these really, really cute snail mail postcards, which are just for fun. And this variety pack of 10 postcards are so cute, and they're themed for the holidays too, so you can go and send love to friends and family. So go check it out. NicoleCulverBlog.com/KitLife. Rachel is a photographer who helps women entrepreneurs create visually stunning brands to attract their ideal clients. She founded the Hot Chocolate Styled Stock Library to make it easy for boss ladies to create gorgeous graphics that get more sales. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. So I have been interviewing a bunch of people that I've met from the 90-day year. So it's just awesome that you're here. And I always say that it's so important to just create relationships and really build on that. So I'm so excited to have met you through that.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about you and your company and just what you do.
Okay. So I'm a self-taught photographer, and the main thing that I do is I create styled stock photos for women entrepreneurs and bloggers. I started the Styled Stock Library back in March of 2015 because I really saw a need for having these, you know, beautiful, stylish, chic, feminine photos available, and I couldn't really find what I was looking for, so I decided that I was going to start a membership site so that women could have access to a variety of photos to create their visual content. So yeah, I've been doing that for about a year and a half. But before that, I actually started Hot Chocolate about 5 years ago as a graphic design business where I created invitations and party printables. So definitely not new to the entrepreneurship world, I guess. But my business has taken, you know, some different paths based on my interests and based on needs that I saw in the market.
Yeah, I love that. I love so much of everything. And this month, I'm really focusing, like I told you before, on just people who have found kind of holes in the market and just started a business, because a lot of the listeners are bloggers and they're so focused on page views and getting to that certain point with sponsored posts so they can maybe leave their job or they can just make more money. And my whole thing is like, you don't have to wait. You just have to figure out other ways to make money. So I love how you kind of, you started with graphic design and you pivoted a little bit into the membership mm-hmm. site.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I completely agree with you. I think that if you're looking for it, there's always opportunities. And if you, you know, you already have a niche, you already have an interest and a passion that you want to pursue, I think that you just kind of start getting feedback from people who you're trying to serve and find out what they want. And, you know, that's a really great way of, you know, creating your first product or, you know, monetizing your blog or whatever the case may be. So I think you just have to look for that opportunity and take it and then just grow from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you get the idea to actually go with a membership site instead of a more traditional, like pay one time, download one picture stock site?
Right. So, I mean, there were a few different considerations that I had. The main thing was that I was trying to, you know, kind of create a sales page, and I kept having to buy like individual stock photos, the very few that I could find that kind of fit the aesthetic that I wanted. But it was just adding up really quickly, you know, having to pay like $15, and some of them were like $90, you know, for one photo. And I just thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. Like, we as online entrepreneurs have to create so many visuals. Like, every blog post needs a photo. Every social media post needs a photo. So it got me thinking, like, wouldn't it be great if there were a membership site for photos that women entrepreneurs would want to use? You know, of course, you've got Shutterstock and iStock and all of those, you know, traditional big brands. But I couldn't really find what I wanted on those sites. So that led me to think, well, what if I create this, you know, styled stock photography membership site where I upload new photos every month so that there's always fresh content and there's no limit to how many images you can download, so that you have content for, you know, every single piece of visual, you know, every kind of graphic that you would want to create. So that was kind of the idea behind it.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I love how it really came from you making your own sales page and just realizing like, okay, I'm gonna have to spend so much money just to get like three pictures for my site one time.
Exactly. Yeah.
How did you actually like launch the site then? Did you go to your current design clients or did you just start in a whole different way?
I actually just started brand new because my previous clients were not business owners. They were, you know, just individuals, because what I did was I, you know, created party invitations and party decorations. So I did not have a base of, you know, business owners who were looking for any kind of help with graphics or photos or anything like that. So I started completely fresh with zero. I had no people on my mailing list. I just kind of, what I actually did to launch was I was part of a couple of different Facebook groups. And then I just kind of put it out there like, hey, you know, I'm starting this new thing. I knew a lot of people wanted stock photos and were interested in it. I knew there was going to be a market for it. And so I just basically was like, hi, I'm Rachel. You know, like, this is what I'm doing. If you're interested, you can sign up for my mailing list and get like two free stock photos or whatever it was in the beginning. And that was just how I started. I think I posted in like two or three groups, maybe.
That's awesome. And did you have like a six-figure launch the first time you put yourself out there?
Heck no. Definitely not. Like I what I did actually was I decided to launch in March, because I was due with my second son on March 13th. I was due. I ended up having him on March 16th, but I launched the Styled Stock Library on March 6th. And I launched my, you know, like my freebie opt-in about a month before, because I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm committing to it. I'm going to get an opt-in, you know, out there and get my mailing list started so that when I do launch, at least I'll have like, it's probably like 30 people, but still, you know, on my list, I'll have somebody to announce this to. So yeah, I mean, I probably had like 10 or 15 sales in March, and it was, you know, at the time I just offered an annual membership, which was $149 at the time, because I just did kind of like a special intro pricing. And yeah, I maybe had like 10 people sign up. So it was definitely not a six-figure launch. But each month it continued to grow. You know, thankfully, I've had growth every single month that I've been in business since then. And, you know, it has generated an amazing monthly recurring income for me and my family. So just because you don't have that, you know, six-figure launch the first month or the first 6 months or whatever, don't even worry about it, because you just continue to build.
Yeah, yes. And that is my whole point, because a lot of times you see things on Facebook and it's so amazing for people who are having six-figure launches, but it's so important to hear those stories of people who launched with 10 people, and you don't just give up or throw in the towel, and you should be focused on like, oh my goodness, I had 10 people for the first time. That's amazing. Let me see if I can get 12 or 15 or something and make it better every single time.
Yeah, exactly. And that was really my mentality the whole time. It was just like, I was amazed. Like the day that I, you know, hit publish on my website, I had somebody sign up with like within like the first 5 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, like this is it. You know, like somebody actually purchased this. And I just remember being super excited. And I just had this thought in my head, like, okay, if one person bought, that means more people are going to buy because more people are going to want this. And every month, you know, I would just set myself new sales targets, and that would allow for some growth. And that's what I did. And then month over month, you know, now a year and a half later, it's been really great. So it definitely wasn't six figures, you know, right away. But it is now a six-figure business. And, you know, it just was that growth each and every month.
Yeah, yes, yes. I seriously love that. And we don't often hear, like, I made six figures in 18 months. You know, we don't hear things like that. It's like, I made six figures in 4 weeks. And that's, you don't hear, yeah, maybe they did, but you don't hear the 2 years of hustle it took to get to that point. So I really love that you are sharing that.
Yeah, I want people to know that, because I, you know, I've been sucked into that too. Like, oh my God, you know, I've been in business for so long. Why am I not making six figures yet? And it really just gets you down, and it's just totally not a healthy way of looking at things, right? And even, you know, some people don't need to reach six figures. So it shouldn't be, you know, the ultimate goal, I don't think. I think that we all start businesses for different reasons, and that we should all, you know, keep that original goal that we had in mind, you know, that should be what guides us rather than, you know, six or seven or however many figures.
Absolutely. And just to mention, you even had a business before the Styled Stock Library. So this has been like a long time coming.
Totally. Totally. And my other business was nowhere near six figures. You know, I ran another business for about 4 years before I started the Styled Stock Library. So, you know, I had all that experience already that I could draw upon that I think helped me make the Styled Stock Library successful pretty quickly. But had I not have had any of that, you know, like in those previous 4 years, I learned how to build a website. I learned how to do graphic design. I learned how to do branding, all of those things so that I could quickly, you know, put something together for the Styled Stock Library. So if I, you know, it wouldn't even be like correct to say, oh, it took me 18 months to build a six-figure business, because it took all that other, you know, time that I spent learning how to run a business and acquiring all these skills that I use every day right now.
Yes, absolutely. I love this. It's just so important that people hear it. Now, I would love to switch a little bit about your actual, like, pictures. How did you learn how to take a great picture then if you are completely self-taught?
You know what? It's really, people often ask me this and they're like, well, how did you do this? I spent a lot of time, I didn't take any formal classes at the time, but I spent a lot of time like reading photography books, reading photography blogs, and then actually getting out my camera, taking a ton of photos. I probably took like a couple thousand photos before I actually published one, you know, in the stock library. So it wasn't like I just overnight, you know, got out my camera and was like, ah, this is ready to be sold, right? I just basically practiced. I kind of figured out, one of the main things is really figuring out the manual settings on your camera and how to use them. And I just kind of read what other professional photographers were doing in terms of setup. And I would just try it, tweak it. I was already proficient in Photoshop for editing, so that really helped. And I literally just practiced for about 2 months, like straight, before I actually created a photo that I thought, you know, I'm comfortable putting this in the stock library.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure it takes a lot of practice. Do you have any tips for a food blogger who is just starting out on like great props they can use or just a great tip on composition of photo?
Sure. I mean, you know what? I think that one of the main things is that just getting comfortable with the settings on your camera. I know a lot of people, you know, sort of hesitate to use the manual settings. But honestly, if you're going to be photographing food, then it's worth just, you know, playing around with it and maybe doing some tutorials. You could even do like watch like a few YouTube videos for free. Like it doesn't have to cost a lot. I really didn't invest a lot of money into creating, learning how to create photos, but I invested the time. Learning how to use your camera and props wise, honestly, I use a white like foam board that I sometimes either get at Michael's, like a craft store, or even the dollar store. So like the backdrops do not have to be expensive. And then the only other thing I would really invest in would be a tripod to just get, you know, the stability and not have your hands shaking when you're taking like detailed close-up food shots or something like that. But there's honestly, YouTube is your friend. I taught myself graphic design through YouTube videos, and I taught myself a lot of the photography skills that I have now through watching YouTube videos. So just Google tutorials on YouTube. But people are so generous with the content that they put out for free. And you know, if you're resourceful, then you can watch those things. And then the main thing is just practice. Take lots of photos. Practice lots, and you'll just get better at it with time.
I love that you said that because one of the questions that I get the most about having my food business or just about the podcast is, how did you figure it out? And I think people want like a magic answer of, well, I just did this one step and everything completely unlocked for me. So I love how you said that you have to kind of put in the time and do the digging because the answers are out there, but they might not be, if you want to be frugal about it, they might not be in like one place in a perfect bow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to invest in courses, like there's something that you think, you know, there's a photography course or something that you would like to invest in, go for it. But if you're just starting out and you don't really have the funds, then that's really my recommendation. And it, like you were saying, it's not just enough. You can't just watch it. You actually have to invest the time in, you know, practicing. And I mean, even with me, like I feel like every time I shoot a new collection, I'm, you know, gaining new skills and I like my composition more and I like the photos more. And I can definitely see a huge progression from where I started to where I am now. So it's just that, you know, constantly being open to learning and getting better.
Yeah, and that's a great point to make too, is that you can see the growth in your picture taking from the start, but you didn't let that stop you because you said like, okay, this isn't 100% perfect or it's not as good as the next person's.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's that fine balance between, you know, wanting to put out something that is a quality product, of course, but then also knowing that it's never going to be perfect, that you can always improve, and not waiting for that like perfect moment or the perfect product or the perfect photo or whatever, and just putting something out there that's good and just knowing that you're going to get better.
Absolutely. So how do you, well, first let's answer the question, why would people want to use stock photography? Because I think in the past, you think, when I thought of stock photography, maybe like a year or two ago, I think of images that really aren't that great or visually appealing. So why would someone want to come to your site and download your amazing pictures?
Well, I agree with you. I think that stock photos used to be really like stuffy and corporate. And I think that we're seeing a big shift now. And it's not just me. There are definitely others in the industry who are starting to create photos that, you know, we as, you know, specifically who I cater to, women entrepreneurs, would actually want to use. But one of the reasons why people really want to use stock photos is because they want to elevate their branding. And maybe they don't have the funds yet to hire a photographer and, you know, get custom photos created. And so they still want these professional, really great looking photos to use. So that's one of the main reasons why people use stock photos. Another reason is just the sheer amount of visual content that we have to create these days. You know, like as I was saying before, pretty much every piece of content that you post requires some kind of image to go with it because it's going to get more interaction. And so as someone who's not a professional photographer, I mean, how do you do that? How do you create visuals if you don't have the photos? So that's another reason why people, you know, kind of why stock photography, I think, is becoming more and more popular. It's just the demand for, you know, creating more visual content. And I think you have to, you know, I think the other thing too is that the industry is changing as people's taste changes as well. I know I try to stay really current with what people want. We've been shooting a lot more lifestyle images, a lot more images that look less, you know, styled, because people are, you know, kind of asking for things that look more natural. And so I think as, you know, the professionals in the industry, we also have to, you know, listen to our communities and hear what they're saying and really give them what they're looking for. So I think that stock photography has gotten way better in the last year or so for women entrepreneurs. And I think that, you know, people can really just elevate their brands really quickly by using professional, high quality photos. So hopefully that answers the question.
It does. It does. And my next question for you, which I still think you can answer, is how do you decide on your different collections? Because I know you're constantly adding to your site.
You know what? I'm influenced by a lot of different things. I try not to look at other stock photographers. I try to look outside my industry because I definitely don't want my photos to look like everybody else's. I try to kind of look at different trends in fashion, different trends in like home design, you know, look at different colors and patterns that are maybe becoming popular. So that influences me. I'm very influenced also by seasons. I try to give people collections that are going to be appropriate to the season that we're in. And then I also get a lot of feedback from my customers, and I listen to what they're asking for, and I really use that to decide on the collections or the type of images that we're going to shoot.
Do you have like a photo shoot or a collection that is your all-time favorite?
Do I have one that's my, you know what? It's funny because like pretty much every time I shoot a new collection, I'm like, ah, this one's my favorite. but, you know, I just one of the ones that's been really popular that I've really liked is called Feeling Zen. And it's like, you know, it's like this, got this like meditation vibe, and we've, you know, we have a model in there, and, you know, she's surrounded by candles and crystals and Buddha. And it's just like it was a very cool shoot to put together. And it was a very, you know, we had like a very like Zen vibe going on during the shoot. And so I love that collection. That's probably one of my favorites.
do you have a go-to place where you shop for your props, or is it just like you're out and you see something that's like a great fit and you pick it up?
We're pretty meticulous when it comes to shopping. Like, we'll come up with the theme for our collection and then, you know, write out a list of the types of props that we want. And a lot of times it's based on color. So we have to be, you know, kind of like sift through a lot to make sure that the colors are all going to work together. I actually do have a prop stylist who I've hired to work with me. So she does most of the shopping now. But we have this great store in Canada called Indigo, and it's like a home, like accessory. It's actually a bookstore, but they sell a lot of like homeware and accessories. We shop a lot there. And then we also shop a lot at HomeSense, which is like the equivalent of Home Goods. And obviously anything Kate Spade. So
that's a great expense.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone's like, oh my God, your office must be so pretty. I'm like, no, it's all like packed away in the prop closet. But yeah, I mean, we sourcing props is definitely a super important part of what we do, because, you know, we definitely want to have like interesting new props, stuff that you don't see all the time. And so it's something that we spend a lot of time on, actually.
And I know I am actually on your mailing list. So I saw a question that you answered, and I thought it was such a great question because you must get a lot, like, what do I do with these pictures? And I think people think you just download them and you can just use them instead of personalizing them. So how can people make your stock photos fit their brands?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's what, you know what, I think a lot of people don't want to use stock photos because they're like, oh, you know, like everybody else is using these. How can I make it look like something that works for me? And there's a few ways that you can easily do it. I love using Canva. I don't know if you use Canva, but I find that it's one of the best online editing tools available right now. And so there's really a lot that you can do really easily to make it your own. And a few things are, you know, just infusing it with your own brand fonts. So if you've got like a brand style guide that you follow and you have, you know, two or three specific fonts that you use, you can add text overlays in your own fonts. You can change your fonts to your own brand colors. You can add like colored overlays over stock photos. That works really well because then you're seeing a little bit of the image, but you're also creating a graphic that really is standing out as your own brand colors. Definitely you want to add your own, you know, URL and things like that so that people know, you know, this is where it's coming from. Another thing, great thing that you can do with high quality stock photos is you can crop them in a lot of different ways. So if you get really, you know, creative with it, you can crop one photo in like five or six different ways. And so it's going to look different because you're only seeing part of a photo and other people may not be, you know, doing that. So you can get really creative with it. But my main advice is to add your own, you know, specific brand fonts. Find a way to incorporate your brand colors, whether it's changing the color of the fonts or adding a color overlay to it. And then, you know, like basically adding your own type of, like if you have any graphics for your brand, like different icons that you use, then you can add those over top. So by overlaying, you know, some of these different elements of your brand, then you're really creating a custom image, that's going to be recognizable to you.
Yeah, that's so smart. And I think, like you said, a lot of people don't think of that. So that's such a great way to customize it to work for you. So I always like to ask this question because it's so different for everyone, the balance question. How do you, being an entrepreneur and a small business owner, how do you manage to stay balanced?
It's a tough thing because I really love what I do. I'm super passionate about it. I think my kids forced me to be balanced because if I didn't have kids, I probably would work on my business like all the time. But because I have kids and because, you know, I want to be present with them, I try to, you know, basically carve out a few hours every day where I know I'm working on my business. And so that I can work on my business and be focused and have that dedicated time. And then the rest of the day is really, you know, time for the family. And then I can be present with them and I'm not, you know, thinking about the emails that I need to get back to. I'm not checking my phone all the time. So I just try to separate it as much as possible, which, you know, it's difficult working from home, obviously, but I try to just, you know, give my business that focused, dedicated time, whether it's like, sometimes it's like 3 hours a day, you know, I definitely don't get the luxury of working like 8 or 9 hours on my business every day. But at least I know I have that time. And then the rest of the time I'm trying to just really be present with my kids. And I think that helps me, have balance.
Yeah. The kids kind of force it. I have that too. So lastly, share one thing that you want the listeners and your customers and followers to know about you that you think they don't know yet.
That was a good question. Do you know what? I think that one of the things I get a lot is people say to me, oh, like you must be so creative. And it's funny because I never thought of myself as a creative person. I went to university. I studied sociology. My whole plan was to become a lawyer. But then somewhere along the line, I just realized that I didn't want that lifestyle. And I wanted to do something that I was passionate about. And so, you know, very slowly over the course of probably, I don't know, like the course of a few years, I finally started realizing that you could make money doing something that you love and something that's creative. And so I think I would want people to know that, you know, you can follow your passions and turn that into a living, and that you can, you know, maybe you think that you're not creative, but the more creative things you start doing, it's like anything, the more practice you get, the more naturally it starts to flow. And so I would want people to know that about me, but also to know that about themselves, that, you know, don't let those limiting beliefs, you know, because I thought, oh, there's no way you can ever make money doing, you know, photography. And here I am. I have a very healthy business, you know, and I would want people to know that about me and also about themselves, that they can pursue whatever it is that lights them up. And I think if you're willing to look for the opportunity, that you can find it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I relate to so much of that. I mean, I wasn't going to be a lawyer. I was a teacher for 5 years and same thing. I didn't like working every single day for someone else. And I was too sad on Sundays to keep doing it. So very similar, but I love that you shared that not only about yourself, but about everyone else too. They can do it too. That's such a great message to end on.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
So share your website and where they can find you on social media.
Yeah. So Instagram is my thing. I love it. Obviously it's very visual. You can find me at Rachel Ruhanna. Or my website is hotchocolate.ca. And if you go there, you can sign up for my freebies. I send out immediately, you get 2 free stock photos. And then every month I send out at least one, sometimes several free stock photos that you can, you know, start playing around with and figuring out how to customize for your own brand.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel. You were so much fun.
Thank you.
You can find all information about Rachel and Hot Chocolate Styled Stock Library in our show notes at NicoleCulverBlog.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Blissful Bites podcast. If you like this episode, subscribe to the podcast so you can hear more inspiring interviews and a helpful business tip. Do you know what stage of blogging you're in? I put together this quiz to help you figure out what stage of blogging you're in and what you need to do to actually get to the next level. So take the quiz. It takes about 30 seconds. And from there, you'll learn what stage you're in and what things that you need to focus on to bring your blog and your business to the next level. Visit NicoleCulverBlog.com/quiz to take it and get started.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.